listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do What are you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
be?
Tell me
what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. Hope everything is well with you today. I know it is Wednesday, the hump day. Got to get over the hump. But I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need, do, should, do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. The weather across the nation has calmed down some to some degree, but it's still hot in a lot of places. In fact, July was the hottest July ever recorded since they've been recording weather. It is the hottest July around the world. You know, and still you got these folks climate denying. It's real. Climate change is real. And it's going to affect this planet adversely. And if it's nothing done about it in the next 10 to 15, 20 years, it will be irreversible. And so our children and grandchildren, well, my grandchildren specifically, because I got young grandchildren. I ain't that young, but they're about to be teenagers. One a teenager, another one on the threshold. And still, that's a lot of years for them to live in a situation that is going to be, from an environmental standpoint, disastrous. So, a lot of good stuff we're going to talk about today. But first, let's talk about what we have on tap here at Time for an Awakening Media. Time for an Awakening Media. You have this program, African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for the podcast. Click on the podcast, and the first one up, of course, is in A, African Perspective, followed by my good brother, Black Reality Think Tank, Dr. William Rogers. So, but this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays and Wednesdays today and this past Monday will be the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3 on Mondays and Wednesdays. Also on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Following Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Following that is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesday nights. Great program last night, Doc Rogers. I'm telling you, and I can't wait to hear the follow-up next week. And Sister Bonisua, outstanding contributions. It's going to be a really good program. You need to listen on the role of the church in our liberation. Today's being Wednesday, so today is time for POC this evening. and her program, Revive, from 8 to 10 this evening. Revive on Wednesdays. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy. Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It ain't me. It's Sister POC and once again her program, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., Warren Ballantyne Show. Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., Monday through Friday, Warren Ballantyne. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at We Buy Black. It's the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. So go online, check them out, check out the products, order some, be supportive. But if you are in the Atlanta area, you can check out We Buy Black. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. So you can pick up that laundry detergent and toothpaste, toothbrushes, batteries, whatever, the deodorant, the liniment that goes on your body for soothing, all kinds of good stuff at WeBuyBlack.com and their kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. AfricanForTheAfricans.org. Go to AfricanForTheAfricans.org and look at what Brother Bomani Tahimba has in store. He has a trip coming up November 22nd to December 2nd, going to Johannesburg, South Africa, and Cape Town, South Africa. Also, at the end of December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, he's going back to Ghana. That's right. Contact Brother Bomani at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of the previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani. 2007. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, that's where the Kwanzaa is being held too when Kwanzaa time comes. But the Marcus Garvey celebration on Saturday, August 17th, will be at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna here and the Kwanzaa in Milwaukee, constantly put on by Africans on the Move, will be at the African American Women's Center on 30th and Valete Street, Saturday, August 17th. Africans on the Move. I'll give more details as these celebrations of the life of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey will be celebrated. And it's a time not just to party and celebrate. It's a time to really reflect, a time to start to put in motion what Garvey was talking about. African Pan-Africanism, Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. Shrine of Black Madonna, once again, in the West End, here in Atlanta. The number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. Their hours of operation are Wednesday, so they are open today from 12 noon to 7 p.m., Wednesday through Saturday, and then Sunday from 1 to 3. And they have everything. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got artwork. They got artifacts. They got books. If they don't have the book that you are looking for, they will get that book for you. They have the red, black, and green shoes, the Nazgaz shoes, and they have Kwanzaa kits. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. They have a class every Saturday of Know Thyself, the American African, the African history class, Know Thyself, and it's open and free to the public, free and open to the public from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. every Saturday at the Shrine. But if you can't make that, you can get the information at the multimedia library that they have compiled, the most extensive cultural library of its kind. It has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, it is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. And you can get all of that from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Another bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall is the Meddu Bookstore. In fact, if you go to the Greenbrier Mall and you see We Buy Black, the Meddu Bookstore is right next to their kiosk, the Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The phone number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. Another bookstore to promote here is my good brother Gazimde Ajamu at Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. And the number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107, Brother Gazimde Ajamu. And, of course, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Their program is on tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night. Us Lifting Us, and from 9 p.m. to 10. The number to call is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Please go online to usliftingus.com. Become a member of Us Lifting Us. Become a contributing member. Check out our cafe. We pulled our money together because that's what we are, a cooperative. And open up Cafe Ulu. Go online to Cafe Ulu. Buy product. Buy the coffee that we promote. We have coffee, brothers and sisters. African coffee. Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopian, Uganda, whatever. And other coffees around the world. Loose teas. And everything at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. Everything. We don't sell nothing outside of us. The potato chips are a brother and his two daughters, Symphony Potato Chips. The pastries we have is two dough girls, two lovely sisters there in Atlanta. You name it, it's us. Another product we sell is Ambrosia. Brother Novak Young, he created Ambrosia, a vitality drink, and in various styles. But the number one thing, they contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. Delicious vitality drinks. Akabin Institute, Baba Mwalimu Baruti and his lovely wife, Yah Baruti, have been teaching our young men and women to be warriors, to be steadfast, to be clear in purpose for African liberation, to self-determination, and sovereignty for African people. He needs our support. Please make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786. P.O. Box 10786. Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Atlanta, Georgia 30310. If you have PayPal or Cash App, you can send that money to them through that way. You can send it cash, $, Yah, Y-A-A-M, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Sanjay Hayati, Sister Gabrielle Ariel, and Sister Gabby, she has a great organization in the northeast part of the island of Haiti. And just, I want you to do is go online, check it out, and if you feel you can support it, please do so, whatever amount. SONJE-AYITI.org. SONJE-AYITI.org. SanjayHaiti.org, the great work she's doing with our children and providing jobs and so forth. Black Talk Radio. We're on Black Talk Radio, brothers and sisters. Brother Scotty Reed needs support, and he has a project, Media Project Fund. Please go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. On the right side, as you scroll down, on that right on the front page, you'll see the donation for the Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. Please support it. August 17th, of course, is Marcus Garvey's birthday. And in Los Angeles, my good brother Jabari Jumaane is going to have the Black Consciousness Caravan in the city at about five community organizations. They'll be going to each organization on a bus, finding out what the organization does, They have African food from various countries at that, and listen to music, get on the bus, go to another one. You're gonna go to, I think, three of them. Everybody will be, I mean, it's a great setup, and I'll get my brother Jamani back on before it's going to take place. That's coming up on the birth date of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. So let's go to the Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And, of course, today is, well, let's read yesterday. Today's the same word yesterday's. August 6th. Our children are the blessings of our lives. They are the living embodiment of the future. They are the future knocking at the doors of the present. They are sacred. We should defend our children the way we defend our religion. Askia Touré. One of the most interesting things about traditional African culture is that the children are involved in the legal process. Their participation was not active in the sense of making decisions, but as observers. They sit quietly as students who listen, learning about the process so that they, when they come of age, they will not have to find out how the legal system operates from a formal detached setting. They were present at virtually all public judicial procedures. Some in special training were even allowed to quietly sit in the back of the meeting, requiring only a small collection of council members. And, of course, as members of the community at large, they were present at collective political and judicial adult debates. Our children watched and learned without interfering with the process because it was understood that they were not mature enough to think at the level and had much to learn before they could formulate questions of worth. But we must consider the value of that now as we begin the process of re-Africanization, because our children have not been raised with an emphasis on the same communal prioritizing values as they were in traditional African societies. Affirm, I count my blessings. Affirm, I count my blessings. August 7. Stand on your own two black feet and fight like hell for your place in the world. Amy Jacques Garvey. We are not them. We cannot be them without losing sanity. No one can be African and European because our ways are irreconcilable, incompatible. Not even amalgamation can change that. Our way is, has been, and always will be purely African. This is what we stand for. This is what we fight for. This is what we live for. This is what we die for. So we cannot ask ourselves the mental societal questions others put in our minds. We cannot seriously ask ourselves irrelevant questions or believe answers which lead to forgetfulness. Our questions must always lead us home. For how can you find your way home by forgetting your way home? I repeat. For how can you find your way home by forgetting your way home? How can you find your way home by forgetting how you got where you are now? How can you find your way home without figuring out how you got lost in the first place? Unless you see home as some backward, barbaric, pagan outland or limited to the place your stolen ancestors were brought to, you must look further than the deception of Caucasians' lies to find our truth. I repeat, it is in the place your stolen ancestors were brought to. You must look further than the deception of the Caucasians' lies to find our truth. Affirm, I am and always be African. Affirm, I am and always will be African. And if you know me, you know that is true. That is true. Kwame Nkrumah. I believe strongly, sincerely, that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African race united under one federal government will emerge not has just another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all humanity. Kwame Nkrumah in 1961. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we heretofore, than we suffered heretofore. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The menace, the real menace in Africa today. And of course, that is the Chinese. So we're going to talk about that. But first, there was a significant transition being made by Sister Toni Morrison. She died at the age of 88. And I'm quite sure you've heard a lot, seen a lot, and especially on Facebook, a lot of good tributes, a lot of good things. And I had to message a sister back because I started out, well, I'm still upset with her saying that Bill Clinton was the first black president, you know. And I was upset when she said it because I've never liked the Clintons. I don't give a damn. I don't know how long ago when she might have said it even before he was elected, probably said it when he came out in shades and playing the saxophone on our Arsenio Hall show. But I apologized because she did apologize. She apologized for the fact that she said that, you know. And she was a strong sister, very talented sister. Toni Morrison has died at the age of 88. The news reported by the author's publishing company, which stated Morrison died Monday night Montfrey Medical Center in New York, according to Associated Press, as the world mourns the loss of the beloved Nobel laureate and Pulitzer Prize winning. Below are five facts to know about Toni Morrison. This is Atlanta Black Star. She's the first American African to win a literary Nobel Peace Prize. Morrison became the first American African to win a Nobel Peace Prize in literature in 1993. I decided that winning the prize was fabulous, Morrison told the AP in 1998. Nobody was going to take that and make it into something else. I felt representative. I felt American. I felt Ohioan. I felt blacker than ever. I felt more woman than ever. I felt all of that and put all of that together, and I went out and had a good time, Ashe. She wasn't always interested in writing. Despite her status as an iconic novelist, Morrison did not actually publish her first novel until she was 39 years old. I didn't become interested in writing until I was about 30 years old, she later said. I didn't really regard it as writing then, although I was putting words on paper. I thought of it as a very long, sustained reading process, except that I was the one producing the words. She's been awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. In 2012, Barack Obama awarded Morrison the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The designation is the highest civilian honor that could be given in the United States. I remember reading Song of Solomon when I was a kid. This is Barack Obama. I remember reading the Song of Solomon when I was a kid and not just trying to figure out how to write, but also how to be and how to think, Barack Obama said of the writer's 1977 novel at the ceremony. The Bluest Eye took a while to gain some steam. When Moore's first novel, The Bluest Eye, was published in 1970, it was initially met with average reviews, CNN reported. However, the story of a young black girl named Picola Breedlove and her desire to adhere to Caucasian beauty standards gained traction once it was placed on the City University of New York curriculum. I focused on how something as grotesque as the demonization of an entire culture could take root inside the most delicate member of society, a child, the most vulnerable member, a female, Morrison wrote in the foreword of the 2007 edition of the novel. A statement released by Morrison's family through her publishers revealed that the famed author passed after a short illness that had not been disclosed. It was with profound sadness we share that following a short illness, our adored mother and grandmother, Toni Morrison, passed away peacefully last night, surrounded by family and friends. In a statement obtained by USA Today read, she was an extremely devout mother, grandmother, and aunt who revealed in being with her family and friends. The consummate writer who treasured the written word, whether her own, her students, or others. She read voraciously and was most at home when writing. Although her passing represents a tremendous loss, we are grateful she had had a long, well-lived life. Long live Toni Morrison. Ashe, ashe, ashe. We're going to get off into this sickness that is Africa. I'm saying that to say it like this, brothers and sisters. You know how much I love Africa. And my hope is to be in Africa very soon and live there for my remaining years and coming and going from there to here and so forth. And seeing things happening there, because the reason why I'm saying this like this, because I want to see things happen there towards an African unification, towards better relationships between brothers and sisters of the various countries, a starting to lay that foundation of which I read about when I mentioned Kwame Nkrumah. Because all those men or whoever or women who espouse what they're espousing, because that's not happening, they tried their best to make sure that it couldn't happen. The information I'm going to read today comes from, you're not going to believe this, y'all, Breitbart. Yes, that's right, Breitbart. The same Breitbart that was, oh, man. Brothers and sisters, let me do this right quick, and I will be right back. So take a listen to this, and I'm going to be right back. I've had... Welcome back, brothers and sisters. I had a little emergency there. I'm glad you, thank you for your patience. Let's get back to the discussion. We're talking about, as I said to you, I'm picking up this piece on Africa. And it's the exploitation. Local media, Nigerians are slaves in their country to Chinese exploiters. This is on Breitbart. That's right, Breitbart. That website that, what's his name, Bannon. Steve Bannon was a member of. So, but I think this article is definitely worth dealing with. And so we're going to get off into it. They also have an audio part I'm going to play for us right now. And when we get to the audio part, after the audio part, I'll get off into the body of the information.
Local media, Nigerians are slaves in their country to Chinese exploiters. By Francis Martel on August 5, 2019. Nigeria's This Day published an extensive, scathing report Sunday on Chinese colonialism and its economy, accusing the Communist Party of labor casualization, tax evasion, customs duty underpayment, forgery and outright sabotage, and individual Chinese immigrants of irresponsibly impregnating young Nigerian women and abandoning them. The reason Chinese corporations are in Africa is simple: to exploit the people and take their resources, reporter Adedayo Adejobi wrote. It's the same thing European colonists did during mercantile times, except worse. China is investing billions into a variety of Chinese economies as part of its Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, a plan to control the most important roads, ports, and railways in the world by building them through the use of predatory loans and then seizing the properties. China has already seized a major port in Sri Lanka and has begun construction of projects throughout Africa and the Middle East, exploiting weak economies. The American State Department has repeatedly warned developing countries to stay away from Chinese predatory loans, but the governments of many African states, prominently Nigeria, South Africa, and Kenya, have chosen to take the fast loan money and greenlight the projects. In Kenya, workers have repeatedly complained of being subjected to apartheid racism on the part of Chinese work supervisors. In September, authorities deported a Chinese businessman caught on tape referring to one of his workers, and President Uhuru Kenyatta, as a monkey. Chinese workers, acting on behalf of the communist regime, have also grossly overburdened the immigration system and illegally used tourism stays to work on Belt and Road projects in the country, taking the jobs Beijing promised away from Kenyan citizens. Adejobi expressed concerns that business with China will create the same problems in Nigeria. He notes that, according to Chinese numbers, the Communist Party has already invested $20 billion in Africa through its shell companies. There are no corporations in China that act independently of the will of the party. This humongous figure is traceable to over 160 Chinese firms operating in the country, which also employed less than 200,000 Nigerians, the author noted. For every Chinese factory in the hinterlands of Nigeria, the Nigeria workforce is not usually more than 7%, of which engage in the menial and lower rung of the ladder jobs. It starts with the existence of the companies, the article claimed. Citing the McKinsey consulting firm, Adejobi found that, out of the 930 Chinese companies operating in Nigeria, only 317 are documented by the Chinese Ministry of Commerce. That means the rest, more than half, are operating outside of the law. Chinese mining companies, the report claimed, routinely violate laws prohibiting foreigners from mining small land plots. Chinese companies are building large factories and evicting locals. The report continues, and Nigerians working there are being utilized for cheap labor while being exposed to hazardous work conditions and accumulating billions of dollars in debt. Chinese men in Nigeria impregnate young naive Nigerian girls and run back to their countries without recourse to the children and women they have put in the family way. Adejobi cited one company in particular, Jalong Investment Limited, which he found evidence accusing of false declaration, tax evasion, forgery, illegal immigration, concealment, and customs duty evasion. Specifically, Jalong claims to dedicate itself to shipping key chemical materials for the manufacture of various goods. to avoid paying the requisite fees for shipping sensitive materials by allegedly mislabeling them as products under cheaper duties. Adejobi wrote that he attempted to get answers by visiting J. Long's headquarters in Nigeria, but found a mushroom company running a shady business by stark illiterates who cannot engage in simple conversations. The company representatives reportedly curtly denied the allegations. As for racism, Adejobi quoted a pharmaceutical executive named Thomas Liu as once publicly stating, "Nigeria has the most thieves in the world," seemingly justifying Chinese businesses' illegal behavior. With stakes worth billions of dollars in businesses ranging from agriculture to oil, gas, and construction, China's Greek gift economic assistance is increasing unemployment and worsening job creation in Nigeria, Adejobi concluded. "It's such a pathetic situation that Nigerians are slaves in their country to Chinese exploiters." Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari has welcomed Chinese investments, like much of his peers on the continent. He has called Chinese investment in the Nigerian economy, Africa's largest, as vital and promised railway projects, power infrastructure, airports and numerous roads through Chinese financing. Kenyan publications such as The Standard revealed many of the apartheid claims and have demanded further transparency in the Belt and Road process. Joining them have been journalists in Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Tanzania, among others, who have expressed that their leaders are more concerned with bringing in quick cash than creating a self-sustaining economy. China's state propaganda outlets have been transparent as to the goal of BRI. In the future, BRI will be responsible for the majority of infrastructure projects worldwide, the state-run Global Times newspaper declared last year. By generating benefits for those involved, a higher level of fairness will bloom. Follow Francis Martel on Facebook and Twitter.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. That was coming from the article that appeared in Breitbart. That's right, that same Breitbart that spews out all the other racist rhetoric. But this is an article that definitely needs to be looked at and understood and discussed amongst us as African people, because the reality is this. If we, you know, we as Africans here in America have just as much and every right to help liberate Africa. We have every right to help liberate Africa. And when we see Africa going through this kind of situation, we have every right to try our best to discourage it. Nigeria this day published an extensive scathing report Sunday on Chinese colonialism in its economy, accusing the Communist Party of labor causation, tax evasion, customs duty and underpayment, forgery and outright sabotage, and individual Chinese immigrants are irresponsibly impregnating young Nigerian women and abandoning them. This isn't just Nigeria, brothers and sisters. This is throughout Africa. This is throughout the Caribbean. The Chinese, unlike Europeans, at least they say we're going to do something that may be beneficial for your country. We're going to build an airport, energy system, railroad, maybe, I don't know, definitely highways and so forth. I mean, my trip to Ghana back in April, I seen the China Mall. I've seen streets and highways that the Chinese are helping develop using no Ghanaian labor. And this is what I got from those who would know in Ghana. It's just like when I went to the Bahamas for a firefighters convention about, 5 years ago, maybe now. And before I went, I read about the Chinese having a boycott in the Bahamas, in Nassau. Not the Chinese construction project, no, the Chinese management. Because all the laborers were Chinese prisoners. They used zero local labor, zero, on that particular project. And this is what I got from the people there. It was, I seen the project because it was not too far from where the resort where we were staying. And this is something you can't miss because it's like it's a big one, just like you see in Las Vegas or the one they have there at Paradise Island. But this is in Nassau. And they had all of these trailers for the laborers who were Chinese prisoners. This is how China operates. China does not have resources. China needs Africa's resources. The world needs Africa's resources. Why don't Africans control the damn resources on their continent to give to sell to the world at whatever market value prices that they are? The reason Chinese corporations are in Africa is simple: to exploit the people and take their resources, reported Abadeo Adujobi. It's the same thing European colonists did during the mercantile times, except worse. China is investing billions into a variety of Chinese economies as part of their Belt and Road Initiative, the BRI, the Belt and Road Initiative, a plan to control the most important roads, ports, and railroads in the world by building them through the use of predatory loans and then seizing the properties. Because they know when you give out a predatory loan, you know they ain't going to be able to pay it back, particularly if given a timeline. They took somebody's airport on a continent, and here it talks about by building them through the use of predatory loans and then seizing the properties. China has already seized a major port in Sri Lanka and has began construction of projects throughout Africa and the Middle East, exploiting weak economies. Now, Sri Lanka, of course, is an island nation off of India. But, of course, you know what Sri Lankans look like, us, except dark skin with straight hair. We have a caller. Caller 267, good morning. Okay. Maybe just wants to listen, and you know that's always good. The American State Department has repeatedly warned developing countries to the American State Department, one of the biggest exploiters them damn selves, to stay away from Chinese predatory loans. But the government of many African states, predominantly Nigeria, South Africa, and Kenya, have chosen to take the fast loan money and greenlight the projects. In Kenya, workers have repeatedly complained of the being exploited and subjugated to apartheid racism on the part of Chinese work supervisors. In September, authorities deported Chinese businessmen caught on tape referring to many of his workers and the president, Yuri Kenyatta, as monkeys. Chinese workers acting on behalf of the communist regime have also grossly overburdened the immigration system and illegally used tourism stays to work on the BRI, the Belt and Road Initiative, in the country, taking the jobs Beijing promised away from Kenyan citizens. We have a caller, 627. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Oshie. You hear me this time?
I sure can. Couldn't hear you last time. How you doing, Brother Ralph?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm fine. How are you, man?
Yeah.
I had my phone on mute. Usually when I call in, I put it on mute and I forgot to take it off. But, I had to pull over for this one, man, because, you know, Breitbart News, little do we want to admit it or not, is the military arm of this government. You know, they're the ones that pump out the propaganda to get the drum started to roll.
Right.
And
right.
Now we're starting to understand the reason of AFRICOM. Because if China grabs the natural resources of our continent, they rule the world, man.
Yeah.
And this country, and you know for a fact, this country is not going for it. So that article right there is nothing but the military arm.
Right.
Letting you know we're getting some things in motion right now because we can't allow this to happen. And it's a shame that our our leaders over there in that country are so weak and greedy that they would sell out.
Yeah.
Not only the people of the continent, but us as well, because there are a lot of us that want to go back there and build up that country the way we know we can build it up. But you have corrupt leadership. Matter of fact, one of your favorite presidents said that, talked about the leadership of Africa, and that was Barack Hussein Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He told the African leaders, he don't want to hear them say nothing about Western powers because it was their own corruptness that got them in these situations. Now, he told them that right to their faces. So, you know, Brother OG, when I read that article and see what's going on, and I wanted to say something else also. You said they used Chinese criminals.
Right.
But they took a page right out of Britain's book because...
Right.
That's how Australia was made.
That's right.
This country.
That's right.
They sent the basket of deplorables to those countries. I mean, we got to call it like it is. But that's what we're up against now, from the president until all. That's what we've always been up against, the criminals of the criminals that founded this country.
Yeah.
That's what we're up against.
But you know what, though? You know what, though, Ralph? To me, it is, even though those are the individuals who got caught or who are in a situation, to me, all of them are criminal-minded. They're all Caucasian, European extremism, racism, and privilege mindset, because that is who they are. That is how they operate. And the fact that they're taking a page out of the playbook that that Europeans, you know, the Chinese are, they're like, hey, y'all did it. But the problem now, of course, is the world and diminishing resources, and the fact that African people sit on these resources and not coming together as African people should to control these resources and demand market value prices for it is insane. It speaks deeply to how messed up we are.
Well, now you see why they had to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi.
Exactly.
You're seeing these things now,
and it
should bring tears to all of our eyes, what's going on. And the thing about, there is some division between us and some of those on the continent. And that's why I was asking, you know, you or bring on some of these folks from the continent that, you know, have a negative mindset of us. Don't bring those on that are in agreement. Bring on those that have a negative mindset that talk against us that's in the diaspora. Bring them on so we can find out where they're coming from, so we can work out our differences that way. Because if we always bring on people that agree with us, then we're never going to get anywhere. It's those that disagree with that, disagree with unity. Let's find out where they're coming from.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, let's find out where they're coming from, so that way we can go on ahead and find out where the real, because right now, Brother Oshie, you ain't going to have a country to go back to unless you're going to go to Hong Kong. You know what I mean? And you'll be facing the same dilemma over there that you're facing here.
Yeah.
So, you know, that article is pretty sad, brother.
It is.
But it's reality.
Yeah, it really is. And it speaks volumes to what I read initially about what Kwame Nkrumah said in 1961, a few years after Ghana's independence, and the most recent one before he was deposed, in terms of us not working together, and what would the consequences be, you know? And of course, they're being seen today, what the consequences are, and that is the recolonization of Africa by Chinese and other folks, Indians, Koreans, Europeans still, you know. And the sad thing, that Africa has such a young population, and these people will be subjugated for decades, you know. So you're right, man. I'm going to finish this article, and you come back because I'm gonna have some more conversation. I'm gonna take a break.
All right, brother. I'm gonna continue listening on TuneIn. But all right, man, all right, brother.
All right, Ralph. Thanks a lot, brother. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We're going to be right back. You stay right here with us. More of this conversation.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is Girl Shot Blast, and I'm back in the building. Ah.
Choose, we believe it. If the crook was a cook, we never look, we just eat it. Got us like paraplegics, frozen stiff and depleted. Body bagged by the wayside, history we repeat it. Yeah, they don't like the Kennedys. We all public enemies. The program's satanic, tapping into our energies. They will super soaker, call themselves black and noble. Their position is global, so our transition is vocal. It all start with the churches. Killer bees be the workers. Missionaries, they carry the wickedness to usurpers. They all hate us and bait us. Their name is educators. Religion's intimidated, so we worship and invaders. They agree to embed it. Bloodline is pathetic. Loyalty to the royalty, second cousin to wedding. Guillotines to behead them, yes, the queen has said it. Elohim's the legend, the way your sisters and brethren. How do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back.
Awaken, can't you feel the earth shaking? We arousing 1,144 acres. No, we ain't paper chasers, more like movers and shakers. Bringing the sentence with vengeance to Mother Earth on a cake. From niggas to niggas, from rednecks to wiggers. When they try to come get us, they using your public figures. Concentrated to campus, microchip is the samples. Unity is the key, connecting all the bandanas. Your televisions and cameras, so don't switch to the box. Microphones in your home, whether you like it or not. No, we ain't overcoming, we just slumming and bumming. They recognizing your third eye is your second coming.
I do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah.
So look for Houdini. I study Kundalini. Raising up through my vertebrae till I seen the genie. So if your chakras are open, know that you are the chosen. 144,000 around the spell has been broken.
Shot bless. Are you prepared to stand up for the liberation of your people?
I am.
Are you willing to fight against the wickedness and evil of this present day system?
I am.
Wait a minute, Shout Bless. We saved your people. We brought you over here from Africa. We gave you a new name, a new culture, a new language, a new religion, a new God. So what do you say to that?
Fuck you. So power be in my people against the forces of evil. Got you looking for paradise, the wise of the needle. So as you look for Houdini, I study Kundalini. Rising up through my vertebrae till I see the genie.
How do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
So power be in my people and power strike back.
Man, we lost in confusion, believe in illusion, so no revolution could take place till you erase the false face that you embrace. Carrying loads of dead weight, we displace all over this earth, cursed with hate, still bowing down to masters who burn and castrate. We so divine, spiritual slaves, deaf and blind, been intertwined, can recognize your black signs. You think not, so we rock braids and twist knots. That's not ether, galaxy rays and equinox, the soul seeker, astro signs, we be the clock, the age.
Remember,
shifts and rise.
So you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah.
So you like that? Brothers and sisters,
like that. Ready to
it
fight
is definitely
back.
The time
fight back.
You will recognize
like
what stage
that.
We're
they
in.
Like that.
We are definitely in the last day.
Yeah.
They're plotting against.
take us down. But you must realize if you tap into your energies that they tried to keep you from, the ancestors, they have another plan. I'm calling on the ancestors. The ancestors. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's black science.
Now do you like that? Yeah, we like that. I'm ready to fight back. Ready to fight back. But they don't like that. No, they don't like that. The power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Shabless. Fight back.
Oh.
You must do. Hold on, Jay. I got you.
All right.
And then right after that was the Iceman's Band. That's right, Jerry Butler, the Iceman's Band. It's Down to That. And we're right back here. And, of course, other programming here very succinctly and very quickly here on Time for an Awakening Media. My program here is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays and Wednesdays following this program is Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. Other programs on Monday, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Let's Buy Black from 8 to 9, and Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And on Friday, if it's Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 to 12. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. That's at 7 p.m. But every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show. Whoa, Jay, Jay. Whoa, Jay. Woo. All right. I got you, Jay. And and the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Sometimes you got to really know in terms of what we're doing on our phones and the areas that we're in, the kind of feedback we're going to get. All right, Jay.
Hey, listen, Ochi, I'm going to be quick. You were talking about the slant-eyed devil, no different than that old no good white man. They both the same. They just colonizers. One is just a darker shade of the other one, but they all have the same intention, and the goal is to control the mineral resources of Africa. And the sad thing is, we go along with it.
Exactly.
We're not doing nothing to stop it. And until we do something to stop it, we're going to be in the same fundamental position of getting taken advantage of. If we don't wake up and do something soon, we're going to be in a world of trouble, man.
Yeah.
Because the resources in the world is dwindling.
Yeah.
And it's not getting no easier, and we're not doing anything to make it better for ourselves. You know what I mean? We're looking for everybody else instead of looking for ourselves
Take
advantage.
That's why I read Kwame Nkrumah, and I will continue to do so, because he was saying to us what we must do. We must have a federated. It ain't about Ghana. It ain't about Nigeria or Kenya or Mozambique or about whatever. It is about Africa and Africans. Because in those individual states that, in fact, the boundaries are not the boundaries that Africa's created. Those boundaries were drawn up by Europeans at the Berlin Conference in 1884 and 1885. So those are imaginary BS boundaries to begin with. Some with intent to divide and conquer. So I'm saying is that this whole situation must be scrapped. It's just like on Doc Rogers' show last night, what I was really wanted to say, and I didn't say it because, I mean, you know, Jake, a lot of the Christians and those who truly believe in the sky daddy, you know, I'm saying bump all of that stuff, recreate it and shape it and fashion it in our image and in our interest, and to hell with any and everybody else. That's what we don't do.
Well, listen, Oshie, until we do that, we're going to just be in this same quagmire, and there'll be somebody else who's trying to look for a come up.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, my good brother Ralph was talking about the deplorables. Listen, you can't get mad at nobody for sending their deplorables out to conquer the world. You know, you would hope that the deplorables would do like the deplorables in this country, have some sort of allegiance with their European brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? You see how they protect England and all of their BS? Listen, the bottom line is, until we get our sugar, honey, iced tea in order, we're just going to keep on going through this, man.
Yeah.
This situation is not going to get no better, man. It's going to get worse because we're not doing anything as a people to make it better for ourselves. And this Urugu don't care nothing about us.
Nope.
They just see us as something to conquer, something to use and abuse. But listen, I'm going to try and call you back, man, once I finish up.
All right, Jay.
If I get out in time.
Okay,
listen,
please do.
To my brother Ralph and the rest, peace, and keep on doing what you do, Oach. You do it like no other.
Right, brother. I appreciate you. Appreciate you. Thanks, Brother Jay. Ida Joby expressed concern that businesses with China will create the same problems in Nigeria. He noted that according to Chinese numbers, the Communist Party has already invested $20 billion in Africa through its shell companies. There are no corporations in China that act independently of the Communist Party. This humongous figure is traceable to over 160 Chinese firms operating in the country, which also employs less than 200,000 Nigerians. For every Chinese factory in the hinterlands of Nigeria, the Nigerian workforce is not usually more than 7%, of which engage in menial and low-rung of the latter jobs. Employing mostly Chinese workers who then when reinvest their salaries paid by Chinese loans into the Chinese economy rather than in Nigeria is one of the many accusations out of Joby listed of ill business behavior by the companies in Nigeria. Add to this accusation, he wrote, labor causations, tax evasion, custom duties underpayments, forgery, and outright sabotage. It starts with the existence of companies, the article claimed, citing the McKinsey consulting firm Adejobi found that out of the 930 Chinese companies operating in Nigeria, only 317 are documented by the Chinese Ministry of Commerce. This means that the rest, more than half, are operating outside of the Communist Party. And they're just staking, making a stake, doing business, getting money. Chinese mining companies, the report claimed, routinely violate laws prohibiting foreigners from mining small land plots. Chinese companies are building large factories and evicting locals, the report continues. And Nigerians working there are being utilized for cheap labor while being exposed to hazardous work conditions and accumulating billions of dollars in debt. Chinese men in Nigeria impregnate young, naive Nigerian girls and run back to their countries without recourse to the children and women they have put in a family way. And understand this as well. Some of them, they'll claim those children because they have access. They'll have access to African land. Those offspring, just like the offspring of Africans and Caucasians, those, whatever you want to call them, never how you want to call them, mixed race, multi-ethnic, half-breeds, whatever you want to call them, a lot of them side with the father against the country that they're in. At a Joby site of one company in particular, Zhenlong Investment Limited, which he found evidence accusing of false declarations, tax evasion, forgery, illegal immigration, concealment, and customs duty evasion. Specifically, Zhenlong claims to dedicate itself to shipping key chemical materials for the manufacture of various goods to avoid paying the required fees for shipping sensitive materials by allegedly mislabeling them as products under cheaper duties. Adejobi wrote that he attempted to get answers by visiting Zhenlong headquarters in Nigeria, but found a mushroom company running a shady business by stark illiterates who could not engage in simple conversation. The company's representatives reportedly denied the allegations. As for racism, Adejobi quoted a pharmaceutical executive named Thomas Liu, has once publicly stating Nigeria has the most thieves in the world, seemingly justifying China's business illegal behavior. With stakes worth billions of dollars in business ranging from agriculture to oil to gas and construction, Chinese Greek gift, he's speaking in reference to the Trojan horse. The Chinese Greek gift economy assistance is increasing unemployment and worsening job creation in Nigeria. Adejobi concluded, it's such a pathetic situation that Nigerians are slaves in their own country to Chinese exploiters. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari has welcomed Chinese investment like much of his peers on the continent. He has called Chinese investment in Nigerian economy Africa's largest as vital and promised railroad projects, power infrastructure, airports, and numerous roads through Chinese financing. In Kenya, on the other side of the continent, China is further along in the takeover process. Kenya has taken in billions in loans, largely for the construction of a coal plant. A damn coal-powered plant. You should have been construction of wind turbines. It should have been construction of solar panels. Coal. And the Standard Gauge Railroad, the SGR, the Standard Gauge Railroad, a project designed to provide easy transportation among several nation capitals in the region, including those of Rwanda and Uganda. The Standard Gauge Railroad's construction has resulted in a major international scandal, as Kenyan workers reveal the Chinese forced them to use separate buses to get to construction sites, eat in different cafeterias, and overall not interact with the Chinese. The Chinese kept skilled Kenyans from skilled jobs and brought in all the instruction manuals in Chinese, meaning Kenyans will forever need Chinese help to repair or refurbish any part of the railroad. Kenya publications such as the Standard reveal many of the apartheid claims have demanded further transparency in the Belt and Road process. Joining them have been journalists in Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Tanzania, among others, who have expressed that their leaders are more concerned with bringing in quick cash than creating a self-sustaining economy. Excuse me. China's state propaganda outlets have been transparent as to the goal of BRI. In the future, the BRI will be responsible for the majority of infrastructure projects worldwide, the state-run Globe Times newspaper declared last year. By generating benefits for those involved, a higher level of fairness will bloom. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, brothers and sisters, that's what it is. And Ralph was right, I am. But I get upset a lot of things that I see. You know, wish I had. And to me, what I've tried to do here on this radio program, for those who have an ear, is to articulate these issues from an African perspective. That's what the program is called. Because I don't give you my opinion. Because right now, my opinion of what I just read would be deeply profane. Deeply profane. What I give you, brothers and sisters, is based upon the historical research by our scholars and our historians. Why, Brother Abidejo, what he brought light to in terms of what's happening in Africa by the Chinese. And it's happening all around. I mentioned to you before, I seen it firsthand in the Bahamas. We have a caller, 602. Caller, 602.
Yes, Brother Oshi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Marcus.
You know, in the 60s, when all those revolutionary movements were taking place on the continent, and, you know, we were moving in a progressive way, and the whites counter racket, and you know, instead of the Mobutus and all those people that they put in place, they didn't develop no trade links with their counterparts here in the West. They didn't develop any trade. So to some degree, you know, Africa was left wide open, so they had to go to the Chinese. They didn't have any choice, you know, because they were being oppressed by the whites, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We here in the West weren't involved in Africa, you know. We were too busy trying to integrate into American society.
Mm-hmm.
So the African had no choice. He was left with, look, he had to, you know, make a deal with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So now we are in that predicament. look, I just said last night, if the African don't organize ourselves economically, if we don't do it for ourselves racially, we could forget about it. See what I'm saying? And that is what we have to get to the crux of the matter. We have to develop trade relationships with each other. We have to develop cultural relationships with each other, technology transfer, because we are the only people are going to save ourselves.
That's right.
The Chinese ain't going to save us. He's looking for his people. He ain't looking out for African people. They said the ports, they said most of the real, it's straight from wherever they're digging the resources to the port. Out straight out to the country. So they really ain't concerned with infrastructure development.
No.
How you get the goods from where they are to the port.
Exactly.
Even the same thing going on in Sudan. It's from South Sudan straight to the port.
Mm-hmm.
See? So, they don't, unless we as African people, especially us here in the, you talk about Nigeria. They said Nigerians here in America are the most educated. They have the most PhDs.
Yes.
And look at the condition of Nigeria.
Yes.
They don't even go back and say, look, let us invest, put something back in the Nigerian economy. The largest black-owned engineering firm in America, Cheshire, something like that.
Okay.
Is owned by a Nigerian. It's owned by a Nigerian, and the other day I was trying to get some things. They didn't even look at me. They didn't even consider what they're talking about, because they are giving their intellectual capital to America.
Yes.
That's what they are doing. They're busy empowering America. So unless we can have a mass movement back to Africa as a people, because a few of us going to Africa ain't going to make no dent in Africa. But 50,000 strong, we make a dent. We make an impression.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where we got to go. Short of that, we just blowing, whistling Dixie in the wind.
Yes, we are.
I'm telling you, brother.
Yes, we are.
Anyway, I just had to say that.
I know, and it's painful as it is, Marcus. I understand, and there's a lot of things I hate to agree with sometimes, and that is one, because it does look so pathetic. It looks so bad. But I have hope, though, man. You know,
we have to.
I'm an eternal optimistic.
Finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Anyway, I continue listening, good brother. Thank
All right.
You.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. And, it's very somber, man, because you're seeing it happen before your eyes. You're reading about it on a daily basis. You see it on in the news and in documentaries and so forth. You see it happening. And in your heart and in your mind, you know what could change this. And really, it's very simple, but it's very hard. I know that's a contradictory statement. It's very simple because it is the mind, but it's very hard because our minds are messed up. All we got to do is be firm enough in our heart and mind to say, enough is enough. This is over. We're claiming our Africanness. We no longer want to be what this country wants us to be. We're going to be who we are in conjunction with brothers and sisters there who understand they need to be who they are, and let's join forces. Once again, just like the program the other day, let's close ranks. Let's close ranks. And let it be so strong that nothing can bombard us. There is nothing that's going to be inside our closed ranks that'll affect how we operate. Nobody can penetrate that unless they're coming correct. And there is nobody in that closed ranks other than Africans. There is nobody else. No other group. No Chinese, no Caucasians, no Indians, no Koreans, no nothing. But Africans. And they ain't black. They Africans. And their whole commitment is to, once again, control the African continent and its resources for future generations to come. When I seen that statistic the other day about us here, and I've stated it, I said, we're not growing here in terms of numbers in this country as we should. When you have a young population that we have, now we can understand about the Caucasian. I told you they have an older population. They're experiencing a negative population growth. You know, and in fact, with the Caucasians, the fear, of course, is their annihilation. They're diminishing. I mean, it's going to happen here in this country, regardless of what they do, unless, of course, they start killing a lot of people, which is not under the realm of possibility through poisons and other kinds of nefarious methods that they could employ. It's going to happen here. They're going to go under. Caucasians are not going to be the numerical numerical majority anymore. And that is a fear amongst Caucasians. But understand this. There have been other places. They weren't the majority. And they still, in South Africa today, they've never been the majority. And they've ruled. And they still rule in South Africa and Namibia and other places. But because of how this country was created, because of what they did, how they took it and stated this is this, this and that. That whole idea is just problematic to them. They can't fathom it. They can't fathom it. Excuse me. They can't fathom that could be a possibility. And so they want to kill. Just like I said, today, 60% of the people in the population consider themselves Caucasian, 60%. About 20% are Latinos, Hispanics, non-white Latinos, Hispanics, however you want to get. But our numbers have gone down. We're now 12.5%. Some say we had got up to 17, 18%. I don't know. The last number I remember was 13%, and now we're under that. And we have been 13% a long time. I stated we have been experiencing zero population growth. Obviously, now we're experiencing negative population growth. The factors being mass incarceration, homosexuality, dating outside our culture or having relationships and children outside our culture, substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, and other things, and of course, just someone just plain ain't about nothing, ain't doing nothing, don't want to do nothing. And there could be some other factors in, that could be noted, but that's what's happening. With a younger population that we have, and yet we're not growing in this country. And our influence has greatly diminished. Now, yes, there are some dark faces in a few high places. But we consistently fight, not for Africa, not for Africans in the diaspora, but for black folks here in America, for us to be full participants in this madness. Tell you, brothers and sisters, we have a very difficult problem. And it's something that we have to deal with. A lot of us don't want to deal with. There's something that came to my attention, and I want to deal with that if I can, if I can find the way to deal with it. What it is that the NC2A, I'm gonna change the course, see if I can find that article on the NC2A. Because this is a recent article. And what it dealt with is sports agents. to me, once the NCAA is trying to do what they're trying to do with sports agents, and it's basically basketball. Breaking news, LeBron James rips new NCAA agent rule. LeBron James is taking shots at NCAA new agent certification criteria, claiming the organization is directly attacking his partner, Rich Paul. But nothing will stop this movement. The NCAA sent out a memo to the NBA Players Association certified agents on Monday, saying any players looking to test the NBA draft waters must be, they must have agents approved by the NCAA if they want to keep the door open to return to college. The NCAA, of course, as you know, I have a deep disdain for. I always read that art, that little quote from Bill Maher. He says, March Madness is a stirring reminder of what America was built on. America was built on. Let me get the correct quote here. Because, you know, here you go. March Madness really is a stirring reminder of what America was founded on, making tons of money off the labor of unpaid black people, of unpaid African people. That is what America was founded on. And the NCAA does it every year. Everybody's getting paid. And so now here you have these agents, and they're saying, no, we're going to ask approved agents, and you have to go to college. The criteria to become an approved agent is a bachelor's degree, certificate from the Players Association for at least 3 years, and pass an in-person exam at the NCAA's headquarters. They could, man, I'm gritting my teeth here on this one, y'all, because I can't stand the NCAA. And this is so dictatorial. It's only targeting American African players basketball. But hockey, you can try out and for a National Hockey League team and still be a player in college. Let me repeat. You could try out for a National Hockey League team and still be a player at one of the universities if you decide not to join a National Hockey League team. You could still play hockey in college. But their mindset, if you try out for an NBA team, then that you lose all your eligibility. You're done. These guidelines will preclude Rich Paul, who is, if you don't know who Rich Paul is, Rich Paul is one of the things that I've applauded LeBron James for, one of the many. The guys that he was hanging out with, he was growing up with, the three other brothers, who is now his management team, he recognized his potential and he recognized theirs, not as ball players, but in other areas to assist in what they were going to do. And he said to them, you go to college for management. You go to college for advertising and so forth. And so that's how they built the brand, LeBron James. These guidelines will preclude Rich Paul, who represents LeBron, Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons, and other huge names from reaping this group of college players because he doesn't have a bachelor's degree. In a memo sent by the NCAA to agents obtained by The Athletic, the NCAA's reasoning behind the rule is to protect what? is to protect collegiate eligibility of their athletic clients. They don't even call them athletic clients. First, they were student athletes. And see, they came up with that decades ago because they seen what the potential could happen. So they put that student there first. And when, if you ever see Mark Emmert come out, who's a president of the NCAA, tried to punch that dude in the face. These student athletes. LeBron, who dubbed the new criteria the Rich Paul rule, doesn't see it that way. Tweeting, can't stop, won't stop. They big, mad, and scared. Nothing will stop this movement and culture over here. Sorry, not sorry. As for Paul's roster of superstar clients, the new rule will have no effect on their representation. But if Rich wants to represent college stars, considering that move to the league, while still remaining college eligibility, enroll in school, and hit the books, they have to deal with it. I mean, you know, this is some crazy, crazy stuff, you know. Yeah, the Rich Paul rule. This week, the NCAA unveiled a new rule for the NBA draft-bound basketball players, stating that they could hire agents in an advisory role ahead of the draft and still retain their eligibility, but only if the agent had. So you can have an agent, but your agent has to have a back. Who gives a damn? And who is the NCAA? I know who they are. A dictatorial ass. LeBron was furious about it, and it seemed that the NCAA's rules was an attack against Rich Paul, an NBA mega agent and Paul's business partner, who doesn't happen to have a bachelor's degree. James tweeted out the Rich Paul rule and later that the NCAA was big, mad, and scared, and that nothing will stop this movement and culture over here. I have no idea if the NCAA rules meant to single out Paul and punish him. Honestly, I would guess that in this instance, it wasn't. I'd argue the rules probably come from a different place, but one that I would argue is more nefarious and condescending than simply trying to squeeze out one agent. My guess is that it is a rule meant to protect college players from hiring unqualified people to be their agent, and that the only way NCAA could think to do so is to make their own degrees a requirement to become one, which is bull. I don't give a damn. I disagree. It seems large, harder than fine at first glance, but it really is a kind of gross. The NCAA is at once infertilizing their own players, implicitly arguing that these young men aren't able to provide vet their agents, and so they must do it for them. These cats, these young people, they can't think for themselves. And we're going to do everything for them because we want them to be on the basketball court when the NCAA season starts, all the way to the NCAA tournament. We're talking about big money here. We're talking about billions of dollars here that they have nothing, they get nothing for. Simultaneously, they're arguing that anyone who doesn't have a bachelor's degree must not be qualified to do this, as if people who don't graduate from a traditional college can't properly do a job. It's the NCAA's reinforcing the idea that four-year college is the only way to prepare for life. The arrogance. Another wrinkle, NCAA believes that just graduating from college automatically qualifies you to do this, because we know every person with a bachelor's degree is qualified and smart and has never been a crook. Yeah, right. If there's anything Rich Paul and LeBron James should be mad at, it's that. Not some unfair targeting, but rather that, despite the evidence presented by Paul and James' massive success off the court, the NCAA continues to believe that the only way to be a successful professional is to get a stamp of approval from one of their institutions. We could get more into how dangerous this idea is or how four-year colleges is largely a racket that is putting a huge drain on our economy and massively favors the already privileged. Because when some of those kids go to these schools and they don't get the scholarships and they pay and they take out these loans that they can't get rid of through bankruptcy, that they're always there. It's an imprisonment. That's good enough for them. NCAA already has a test, which has to be taken in person in Indianapolis. But apparently even that isn't good enough. It should be. Oh, they had some other stuff in here. So, but that's, you know, like I said, I think I had to get off into this today. I didn't think I'd have the time, and I was going to get off into it soon because I can't stand the NC2A and how it administers and does what it does. But in terms of acquiring now agents to have a degree, or at least a bachelor's degree, you know, it's like, I don't know who was a relative of Kawhi Leonard who negotiated his situation, a relative without a bachelor's degree, you know. And I know my good brother who, my best friend who passed on, he was, he has a law degree and he was going to be an agent. He's going to be an agent to argue contracts with professional teams for professional players. Unfortunately, he passed before that could be realized. You know, what happens in the professional ranks, of course, is that's different. But what happens in the NC2A, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, and how it runs its business is, and as it relates to us, is criminal. Just like I said, you can go check it out. They don't have to have this in hockey, baseball, other sports. It is the sports. It is the big money generating sports. If brothers said today in basketball and football, because in basketball, 80% of the cats on the floor are us. In football, 70% of the people on the field is us. If they said we're not playing another game until we work out some kind of compensation, some kind of stipend or some method or way that our athletic ability that you exploit on the court and on the field will no longer happen, then we're not going to play at all. I wish there were some brothers and sisters who had the heart and the other brothers and sisters understood the importance and say, that's what's going to happen. We're all in this together. What would happen then? Do you think like it was back in the 60s when I was coming up as a kid, and if here where I am right now in Georgia, in the Southeast Conference, all the teams were Caucasian. When I saw that game between Marquette University, Dean Imogen, them cats playing against LSU and Pete Maravich, all that team that Pete Maravich is on with LSU was Caucasian. Do you think that could happen today and people would want to spend that money to watch them, to watch the Caucasians play? No. No. So, yeah. The Rich Paul rule. So anyway, brothers and sisters, we only have a few more minutes, and I'm glad I had a chance to get this out the way as well. You know, aside from what we talked about in terms of what's happening in Africa as it relates to all those other entities that are in there. You know, we need a cadre of leadership. We need a cadre of leadership that is not European trained. And then even if they were, that training that they received was only for the benefit of our people. We need a cadre of leadership that will call out our people to come up from under this yoke of oppression that we have been experiencing for hundreds of years. Is our situation so ingrained, it's cemented, and there's nothing we can do? I will never believe that. And the reason why I will never believe that, because it's the mind. If we could reclaim, recapture, and restore the minds of African people and help them understand it's not about tribalism, it's not about a particular country. Now, I respect customs and traditions and the will of our ancestors. I respect it. But what I wish for most is for African people to unify. Unify or die. That should be our mantra going forward into the next decade of the 20s. Unify or die. Because when you see populations of African people are declining, I got to look at Africa, because, I mean, Africa's young. And if those populations are starting to experiencing a zero population growth, then we know what time it is. At least we should have known right now. But somehow we're waiting on divine intervention. Many of us are waiting for Jesus to come back. He came back in Kenya last month or month before, whatever. And they arrested his ass. Yeah. It's a Caucasian that plays Jesus in skits and plays and movies, whatever. And here he was invited by a priest, and they jammed him up too. Waiting on Jesus. So I'm hoping that we will come to grips with our situation globally. And even this NC2A thing has a thing, because what it's saying to you, we're controlling you. You do as I say. We set the standards. We set the rules. The NC2A couldn't do a damn thing if brothers got together and say, no, we're done with this. The NC2A couldn't do a damn thing. I don't give a damn. The majority of young men who go play basketball, and now sometimes young women who go play basketball and football, their whole idea is to become a professional. And the NC2A has been used as a minor league for the professionals. Oh, how great it is for the NFL to consistently value talent as they see them on the football field for free, and who they're going to pick in the upcoming draft. And when they have these combines, where just like at time where we were in enslavement, in fact, they had a mock draft, and it was just like the times we were in enslavement. They showed it on TV briefly, because I guess somebody said, this don't look good. Oh, hell no. You had folks bidding on players to be on their fantasy team. And see, when you have a society that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, and then it is so deep that the brothers and sisters don't give a damn about, they only care about themselves. And so even though it looks bad, they don't recognize it. They don't care. That the same things that we have gone through as African people since we got here, we're going through it still today. They don't care. Yeah. Well, brothers and sisters, we're about that time. And, of course, the Black People Matrix today is a tape program. Our good brother is taking his daughter to school in Florida. So, but we're going to make way for that time slot that he has and what he's going to be presenting. And then we'll be back here on Friday for our program on Friday. And, you know, another program to help elevate the minds of our people. Because that's what's happening, y'all. We're at war. We have been warred upon. And everything that we do should be about upliftment for African people. Everything. So, brother, we in this program like we in all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Bibi Fahodia family, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace.